because they were lukewarm, he's ready, he was ready. He said, I will spit you out of your mouth, out of my mouth. You must determine today to be faithful to the end. Don't blow hot today, then cold tomorrow. You should be at a point in which God can find you as faithful. Where he says, when I wake you up, I know Ayo will be there. He will just simply say, here I am, send me. Where you can be relied upon. There's someone there that needs the touch of God, and God can rely on you because you are faithful. You must be faithful. It's not about the big stage, it's about faithfulness in little. If you care so much about the big stage, God can set it up, but in the mind of God, it is not about the big stage. Whether you ever get the big stage, it is in his plan, it is in his mind. Ministry should not be done about the big stage. Ministry is about service. And that is what you must see. Service to God, service towards men for God. Amen. Ministry must be done for service. Let me just quickly share with you four important things that we can learn from the Apostle Paul that will help us keep the fire burning. But before I mention this fire, I should remind you that you are the center, or you are the center of the stake of the fire. It is your life that should be the sacrifice, the living sacrifice. The living sacrifice. Your life must be consumed by the living God. We'll get to that in the course of time. Four things. Number one is that for this fire to burn, like I expressed earlier, for fire to burn, you needed to a hard flow to it, that is components that can burn, and air. So these are some of the components that I just picked for. Number one, you need to deepen your intimacy and knowledge of God, or intimacy with God, or knowledge of God. I do not say knowledge in terms of knowing about God, but I talk about knowing God. A knowing of God, having a relationship. You know him in toto. You know what he wants, what he does not want, what he likes, what he does not like, what you are willing and ready to do, what is pleasing to him. It's a knowledge based on intimacy with God. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, from verse 7, and I'll read. It says, but whatsoever was of profit, for whatsoever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and to be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is true faith in Christ, the righteous. That comes from God is by faith. Verse 10 says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Amen. Verse 10, KJV would say, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Paul's utmost desire was to know the Lord intimately. He was willing to part with everything. He says he counted all things as dung so that I can know this Jesus who came after me. I want to know this Jesus for whom I am suffering, for whom I have lost everything. It wasn't so much of one who lost his property and all that. It was so much of one who came to a realization that when he met Jesus Christ, every other thing mattered not anymore. All his knowledge, all his wealth of experience did not matter compared to knowing Jesus. That is how we should get intimate with Jesus Christ. He says that I may know him. Paul's will, Paul's utmost desire was to know Christ. Can you make that your utmost desire above every other thing? You get intimate with the Lord by devoting yourself to prayer and a study of God's word. When you know the Lord, it will be evident in your disposition, your response to a task set before you by the Lord. It should be your utmost desire to know him. It should be your utmost drive to know him. How? Commit to prayer. Be a prayer person. Commit to a study of God's word. Look in the word. What does God's word say about my Savior? What has my Savior done for me? You see the word as his word to you. It's like reading a love letter from someone you love, and you just keep going over it again and again and again, and it warms up to your heart. You embrace the word. You get intimate. You pray in the Holy Ghost. You pray endlessly, devotedly. As you do this, you build intimacy with the Lord. And as you get intimate with the Lord, one thing it will do is that it will change your disposition to embrace the task that God puts before you. Because you are so intimate. He says, go, you are ready to go. He says, come, you are ready to come. He says, sit, you sit. Because you are in tune with your Savior. He says, run, you run, you run. You'll be like David, who was so intimate with his Lord. When he saw Goliath, all he could do was affirm that the Lord who delivered him from the paws of the lion and the deer, says the same one will deliver me from the hands of Goliath. In fact, I will have his head today. Why? Because he has defiled the armies of God. He spoke as one who knew the Lord. He spoke as one who had an intimate relationship with the Lord. That is what intimacy with the Lord will do. It will give you the required drive to do the work. Get intimate. My brother, my sister, this will keep the fire in you burning. Number two, renew your mind. Renew your mind. Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable and pleasing unto God, because this is your reasonable act of worship. It goes on, verse 2, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. Paul admonishes, says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Consider yourself a living dead. Yes, you are alive, but you are dead. Sacrifices are dead. Then he goes on to say, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do not be temporarily who you are not, but be transformed into who you really are. Do not temporarily assume the position that God has not made you. Simply saying, guard your heart from being deceived to be patterned in the way of the world. When you met Jesus, he changed your life. You became a new creation, a new creature. The old person died, a new man started living. So he's saying it is time to start living as that person. However, if you do not guard your heart, you continue to temporarily live as who you are not. You continue to temporarily live a life that you have been delivered from. He's simply saying, guard your heart so that the system of this world will not deceive you into to follow the ways of the world. The world will give you its own pursuit, its own urge, its own desires if you do not consciously guard your heart and tame your heart and your body. You must consistently allow God's word to tame your heart, to put it in check, to guard it from the things of this world. Because you are in this world unconsciously, sometimes you would take up some habits, the patterns of this world. But because you are not a citizen of this world, you must consistently put your mind, your heart in the right perspective of who you are. There's a battle in your mind that determines the direction of your pursuits in life. If you allow your heart to follow the ways of this world, your pursuits will be after the things of this world. If you are easily deceived into assuming that the things of this world are very and more important, then you continue to pursue them. The world will easily sell to you, to your mind, the pursuit for survival, for comfort, or affluence, ahead of the pursuit for God's worship and service. It will trade watching a movie with prayers. It will trade a hip-hop concert with a vigil. It will tell you are not good enough, even when God's word says that you are complete in Him. Guard your heart. Dearly beloved, guard your heart with all diligence. Guard your heart from drifting away from the purpose of God for your life. It must be deliberate. It must be conscious. You must do it with all sincerity and urgency, with every form of diligence. If not, before you know it, you are pursuing after some things, and you are letting go of the work that God has set before you to do. Guard your heart. Number 3 is focus on Jesus. Focus on Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything. Let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Verse 2 says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, scorning in shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Focus on Jesus. It says we are surrounded by such a cloud of weaknesses. He says, let us lay aside every weight that so easily besets us and every sin that so easily entangles us, and so that we can run with meekness. It is time to do away with the dead weight, the things that we are carrying that we do not need to carry. It is time to do away with the wet logs that are not allowing our fire to burn well or to burn properly.